you could say, company.
Yeah.
And everything like that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, as we're talking about the layups and everything, I'm watching the Bulls and Knicks right now. And, you know, and I'm actually halfway impressed because they are going in for the layups. They are going in for the baskets. I don't know if it's just because we're talking about it or not, but, you know, it's nice to see, you know, not that type of long range basketball.
Yeah.
And like I said, everybody wants to be Steph Curry and all this good stuff. You know, and it's great to have goals, but at the end of the day, you take the 2 points. Now, me wasn't a basketball player, but I know you were, and I know that you played competitively, you know, over the years and everything like that. So, I mean, you know, when we go into basketball and everything and you start talking about fundamentals, I kind of throw that to you in everything, just because of the simple fact that you've been there, you've done that.
Well, my whole thing is this, man, and I'll keep saying this until I can't say it anymore. Fundamental basketball ain't about looking flashy. It ain't about it ain't about being the best player on the court. It ain't about anything, you know, just, you know, it ain't about showcasing, outdoing somebody else. It's just about fundamentals, the very basics of basketball that made the game what it is today and that made it fun to watch. It's, you know, effort, you know, playing hard, sharing the ball, being a team player, you know, simple rebounding, boxing out, you know, making a smart play, just, you know, handling the ball, not doing all this, you know, and one showmanship type stuff that's not needed, but is you do it just to look pretty. It's just being basic. Tim Duncan went to the Hall of Fame being fundamental. He wasn't flashy about nothing he did. Everything was just fundamental basketball, and that man was unstoppable till the day he retired. Just playing fundamentally sound basketball. San Antonio Spurs went on a run unlike anything we've ever seen in the NBA for about 20 years under Greg Popovich. Why? Because he had a basketball team that was fundamentally sound. And they all played together. Nobody, you know, tried to show each other up. Any of that stuff. I say, in as much as Golden State, everybody, we, you know, talk about Golden State and, you know, Steph Curry and all of that. In between Steph Curry just doing Steph Curry type of stuff, that basketball team is a very fundamentally sound basketball team. That's why they're the best team right now, currently in the NBA, even without Draymond Green, even without Klay Thompson, who still ain't back yet. The number one draft pick from last season, Wiseman. All out. They got the best record in the league with a bunch of guys that are not household names. They just go out there and play basketball. They've beaten every team that they face except for, I think they got 2 losses. They've beaten the Lakers at full strength. I mean, fundamental basketball is fundamental basketball. If you got a layup, take the 2 points. Because guess what? I got 10 opportunities to make a layup. That's 20 points. or I got 10 opportunities to shoot a three-pointer. The layup is guaranteed, pretty much close to guaranteed. Those three-pointers are not close to guaranteed when your best three-point shooter might be 40%. But everybody want to shoot threes, and everybody say, "Oh, the three, you know, the three-point shot is revolutionized the game." No, it's three-point shot been around since the mid-'80s. It's the volume of which these threes have been taken that has changed the whole landscape of basketball. If I shoot 50 threes and I can make 15 of them, it's still a low percentage, but you made 15 threes. So that's 30, that's 45 points. No, hold on. 15. Yeah, that's 45 points. Am I right? I think that's right. Threes, 15, let's see, five. Yeah, that's 45 points off of three-pointers. Where if I took 50 shots from mid-range, mid to short-range shots, higher percentage shots, if I made 35 out of 50 of those, who's got more points at the end of the game? The team that's got the higher field goal percentage. If I made 35 out of 50 mid-range to layup or dunks, that's 70 points. I shoot 50 threes, I make 15 of those, that's only 45. Now, if I'm a team, at the end of the game, I lose the game by 10 points. But I passed up 10 opportunities to get a layup or a dunk to kick it out to a missed three-pointer. How many points you just left on the floor? 20 points, possibly. You only lost the game by 10. You make them layups, you win the ball game. It's simple. Like, we've dumbed down the game of basketball to allow people that don't have a fundamental base to excel and be successful playing basketball. Because everybody's traveling. I don't care if you change the rule and say, "Oh, now there's a gather step." What the heck is a gather step? If you pick the ball up and you take a step without putting the ball on the ground, that's a step. No, they're not counting that step. They're counting the steps once the ball hit his hand. So If I bounce the ball, I can take two steps before I even touch the ball and then take two more steps after I touch the ball. So that's your gather step. The steps you take in between you repossessing the ball in your hands after you take your last dribble. That's garbage. That's why you see guys like Giannis, who is from Europe. You know, he's traveling. LeBron invented the travel. I mean, they all traveling. And you go over to Europe, and half of the rules the NBA instituted, they don't even play by those rules in Europe. That's why when we go over to with the Olympics and stuff, we struggle because they let them play through contact. You're not getting the ticky-tack touch fouls. You got to earn it around the basket. You know, there's no such thing as goaltending. No, the only difference is we just have, you know, better athletes, but around the world they're playing a more fundamental brand of basketball. So therefore, we going to the Olympics and we losing to Brazil. And I get it. We got some NBA players that you know, they go and play for their own countries, but hey, we supposed to have the best athletes. You know, our brand of basketball supposed to be this, you know, all high and mighty. Well, why are we getting beat by lesser talented teams when we go to the Olympics? Come on, man. Today's brand of basketball, you know, is not better than it was in the 90s. And I had this debate with anybody. I don't care who they is. They could be somebody that get paid millions of dollars to talk basketball. You're not going to convince me otherwise. It's just not. Because there's too much that has changed just for us to, you know, people think watching an NBA game in the regular season, you got all-star game scores, 145 to 150. Professional basketball teams out here losing by 50 points. I posted a screenshot of a score last night from, I think it was, let me see if I can find this game. Okay. Last night, I think it was Memphis and Minnesota Timberwolves. All right. Now, I've seen this on more than one occasion. This is why I'm saying this. 138-95. That's the score at the end of the game. Timberwolves not even that good. Grizzlies not even that good. At one point, the Grizzlies was down. In, I want to say, the third quarter, they were down 40 points. And I'm seeing too many of these type of scores going on in the professional ranks. You know, back in the days where I'm talking about, where basketball was pure, you had true bigs that played the paint, true postman. You don't have that anymore. Just because you got KDs and you got, you know, I'm not even gonna go on record and say Anthony Davis is a transcendent type of player. Because since he's tried to develop this 3-point shot, he's taken himself completely away from the basket. You're not even effective anymore. Because you're 7 feet tall and you want to play like Giannis. You're not Giannis. And since you've been in L.A. with LeBron James, your game has failed. So, come on, man. Today's game of basketball fundamentally is garbage. Period. And the only way to fix it is you got to get these kids at the youth level to learn how to play basketball the right way from a young age. Because everybody's trying to play like, you know, in it. I coach on the youth level. I've coached on the youth level, like young, 8, 10 years old, you know, middle school, high school. And you get kids, you know, out there that try to shoot. They don't even know how to shoot the ball. When you say, hey, go shoot. They grab the ball. Where you think the first shot they take is from? The 3-point line. They can't even get the ball to the rim.
Well, again, this all goes back to what we have been saying. I mean, forever now, this is the way that the new NBA is.
We need David Stern back. Cause I'm not liking
David Stern too old, man.
Adam Silver.
David Stern too old, man.
No, I know that, but the end of my rant. This is going to be the end of my rant. Anybody's welcome to come in and debate. You can if you want to. Just be careful. Just be careful. I mean, hey. even Nicholas Lane, me and Nicholas Lane has had this debate. You know, we don't disagree 100% on where the game is at today. He has his opinions. You know, I have mine. It's, you know, especially on certain players. But you're not going to, because the way I'm looking at basketball, you ain't looking at it that way. Because I'm looking at it from a grassroots standpoint. You know, of development from the grassroots on up. Most people just looking at it from, you know, what they see in the professional ranks. But I'm looking at it from a sheer, straight, you know, fundamental base. Give me 10 of those fundamental basketball players, and I can build a team faster than a team with 10 all-stars. It's easier to coach all-stars. You know, you don't have to do as much. Just call a couple plays. They'll go out there, you know, play one-on-one, one against five. But when you face that team that's got 10 dogs, that's got a fundamental base, you're going to be in trouble because they know how to play team basketball. This all-star team don't know how to play team basketball. So when they face a team that forced them to play team basketball, coach can't coach because he ain't never had to coach. They done. Stick a fork in them. This is why when it's college football, in the college football tournament, what teams do you see on a consistent basis advance to the Elite Eight, to the Sweet 16, to the Final Four, win it all? It's the teams that's been together longer. It ain't the one and done's no more. Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, them teams ain't in the Final Four no more. They getting beat by the Gonzagas. They getting beat by, you know, the Oregon Ducks, you know, type of teams that just been together longer. You seeing more upsets from the smaller schools that's got, you know, 4-year seniors. We can have this debate another day. We will, but we gonna move on. But last words, LeBron James, you soft. Anthony Davis, you soft. Who else jumped in that fight? I ain't see Dwight Howard, so Yusuf, all of the Detroit Pistons players who looked like they was trying to stop this man from going at LeBron, all y'all soft. The officials who was protecting LeBron James, y'all soft. Westbrook, you soft. Because you just soft. That's it. The whole, all y'all soft. Ain't none of y'all tough. Y'all fake tough guys. That's it. Give me Anthony Davis, Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson. You know, give me those guys, the real tough guys. But y'all dudes, you know what? There is one guy in the league that I do respect. And it's going to be a name that ain't nobody talking about, because the reason why I respect this dude ain't got nothing to do with basketball. And that's Enes Kanter. Ain't nobody talking about him, because what he's talking about, don't nobody want to have that discussion. But that's a conversation for Breaking Bread, which will be coming at you in 2 weeks. So when we have that show, we'll go into Enes Kanter and why this man getting praise from a lot of people for doing what he's doing and standing up for what, you know, what he believe in, as far as, you know, contradictory or the double standards of some of these athletes around the league, especially Mr. Powder Puff James. So we'll get into that. If you guys want to check that out, just go Google Enes Kanter and see what this man been doing for the last few months. Openly, he don't care. And he wearing shoes, and now he's wearing shoes, calling it out. Nobody's saying nothing. So that is that. And let me see here, before that was my NBA rant. I did mention earlier that the Kings fired Walton. We've been talking about that in the Rat Pack Sports Show group. Not a surprise. And I got another topic for Breaking Bread. I'm going to save that. We're not going to go into that tonight. So that's going to be another sucker punch to these Powder Puff NBA players. Hey, listen.
Hey, Debo.
What?
If I didn't know any better, I would say you don't like the NBA now.
No, listen. I love the game of basketball. I just don't like. I just don't like the attitude of these prima donnas in the league today. They all
You know who need to be the commissioner of the NBA?
Who?
Charles Barkley.
No, they can't handle Charles Barkley as a commissioner.
Sure they can.
No, they couldn't. No, they couldn't. They couldn't handle Barkley as a commissioner because Charles Barkley too honest.
I think it'd be funny.
He's too real. And some of the stuff that I don't even remember. What's the commissioner's name? Adam Silver let go? It wouldn't happen under Charles Barkley. Listen, Charles Barkley almost left TNT after last season because people was getting in his way, telling him what he could and couldn't say. And he almost left TNT. He did announce that he was going to be leaving, and then all of a sudden, come this season, he back. So they probably sat down at the table and negotiated a bigger contract to keep Charles Barkley on that show. Because sports media need people like Barkley, not people like Stephen A. Smith. You need people like Charles Barkley, who's going to be open and not unfiltered, uncut, because he ain't saying nothing wrong, but he's speaking his mind and being real about it, and he ain't, catering to, pressure of, hey, I wouldn't say that if I was you. Charles Barkley don't care. He don't care, man. And that's why a lot of people like him on that show. Inside the NBA on TNT is a great show. I don't even watch the games, and I watch Inside the NBA on TNT. Half the time, I don't even watch none of the games. But I just like the dialogue that they have, on the show. They're a good bunch. They're a good group together. They've been doing it, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Ernie Johnson and Kenny Smith and Shaq and, Barkley is one of the best tandems in all the sports. You don't want to break them dudes up. Bring in some other clown that's not Charles Barkley. You don't want to have to replace Charles Barkley.
You can't replace Charles Barkley.
No, not really.
Okay. Maybe you could with like a Dennis Rodman. Now.
Yeah, you're not putting Dennis Rodman on the air. Hold on.
Well, go with me on the side street here.
Yeah.
Go with me on the side street
here. Mm-hmm.
Now, picture this. Johnson.
Yeah.
Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman. Now, are you ready for this? And Mark Cuban.
Dude, I don't really like Mark Cuban.
That's because you're soft.
What? Man. No, listen. I don't like Mark Cuban. I feel like he's, he's a billionaire. He has a lot of money, and he's great for his Mavericks organization. But
he's one of the best owners in sports.
But my thing with Cuban is almost. He's the owner that's always got something to say.
Okay.
And? Not like a Jerry Jones or Al or not or Al Davis. You know what I'm saying? Not like that. I think, he's not that powerful. Not like those two are. But he's like LeBron James are the owners to me.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Your comparison is so far off.
No, it's not.
No.
I'm gonna tell you why.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
I don't like Mark Cuban.
It most certainly is.
I respect him for everything he's done as a owner. He's one of I never question his ownership. I never question what he's done. As a owner, my beef with Mark Cuban goes in another direction. So, I don't like him. I'm not gonna say I don't like him. I just think a lot of times, like LeBron James. You always got something to say, but that don't mean
I'll put it to you this way, man. We will agree.
I don't want
to
Mark.
Disagree.
I don't want Mark Cuban in no on no TV show anyway, dude. I don't want no. I don't want no NBA owner on no TV show.
Actually, he's already on the TV show.
No, I'm saying like a inside the NBA type of show. I don't want him on there.
Well, the reason that I would want him on there is because I think that he would be truthful as to a real owner's perspective, and not this
watered down stuff. We don't want the owner's perspective. Well, at least I don't. I don't want an owner's perspective. I just want a player's perspective when you're post game. I don't want. Mark Cuban probably can't even play basketball. I don't want his. I might be a better basketball than Mark Cuban.
You sure about that, bro?
Hey,
you sure about that,
dude? I've never seen him playing basketball. Maybe he's got a little jumper. You seen him playing basketball before? I haven't. Oh, breaking news. Tiger Woods is taking golf swings. It's not really,
Wait, hold on.
Oh, Tiger Woods is taking golf swings.
Okay. He's kind of a golf player.
No, I'm saying, bro, you know the man was involved in that accident that, shoot. He almost could have lost.
You thought that accident was going to keep him away from making a return?
No, but I mean, you know, the injuries he suffered, it was pretty bad, dude. You know it was. I'm just saying.
Man, look, anything outside of and. You know, and I am thankful that it didn't happen, but anything outside of total paralysis, I mean, maybe I'm being a little cocky about this. I don't know. But if I am, you know, I'm sorry. But there was never a doubt in my mind that Tiger Woods at some point in time would not at least attempt to make a golf return. Now, do I think he's going to be as good as he once was? No. Because you're right. The injuries that he sustained, that was heavy. But no, I hate the fact that I don't sound surprised that he's making a return, but I'm really not.
No, I think, you know, who knows if he's not gonna catch Jack Nicklaus. I think he will have to win four more majors to tie, five to pass him.
Man,
that's a lot to ask, but he's still young. But I'm not sure if he's gonna be
competitive to that point. Like you just got done saying, them injuries. Go back and look at them injuries.
And he still has the back issues. I mean, we just looking at the leg injuries he suffered, but he still has the back problems. On top of now, you know, I mean, after the broken leg heals, you know, he'll be, you know, pretty good to go. I mean, you're not playing football. It's golf. You do a lot of walking, but it's not that. It's not like an extreme sport to where, you know, he can't come back and play some respectable golf. We'll see. I mean, would the golf world like to see Tiger Woods back in the golf world? You know, on the course, yes, but the man is only going to come back if he really feels like he has a chance to play and be competitive and win. But Tiger Woods is, you know, he's still recovering from the injury. So he could be just out on the golf range, on the course, just, you know, hitting balls just because he want to hit, you know. I mean, that's his life, livelihood. It's like, you know, I'm a basketball player, I'm a football player, you know, I'm a retired quarterback, and one day somebody feel me, you know, throwing a football back and forth to some high school kids, and they say, oh, he looks like he still got it. Maybe he's making a comeback. We don't know. I'll say this. You know, he is young. He's still young in the golf game. 46, 45 is still pretty young in the golf. And could he, you know, make a comeback after, you know, sitting out maybe another year, you know, while he, fully recovers? I'm not, you know, taking anything of that out of the question, because, you know, what made Tiger Woods great is also what drives those type of players to prove everybody wrong. So, people saying he can't do it. People said Alex Smith would never play football again. Alex Smith injury was probably, I would say, based on the visual that everybody seen when he did the 30 for 30. Based on that, you know, documentary when he had all them surgeries, I guarantee you Tiger Woods wasn't in that situation. It was bad, but Alex Smith leg injury compared to, you know, Tiger Woods, where Alex Smith came back to play quarterback in the NFL. Tiger Woods just coming back to play golf. So if Alex Smith could come back and play, and you know, anybody that saw Alex Smith play last season, dude still has some in the tank left. But
yeah,
you know, at this point, there's nothing left for him to do. I mean, he didn't get the Super Bowl. Everybody tries to win the Super Bowl, but he was, I think, 15, 16 years in the league, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he proved to everybody that he could come back and play. That's what he wanted. He wanted to go out on his own terms, and his own terms was coming back to play football. So once he accomplished that, and he played well enough to where when people retired, it was like, man, you know, he still has some left in the tank, which he did. But, you know, it was time. He just wanted, he did what he did what he set himself out to do, and that was to come back and play football and walk off on his own terms. So he said, you know, he put a caption in the video saying making progress. Listen, these athletes are, you know, cryptic dudes. They post things on social media, the almost like a spoiler in the movie. He would not post any photos of him swinging a golf club if he didn't have some type of intentions on coming back and playing golf. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. You know, with Brett Favre, well, that's a bad example because Brett Favre retired twice and came back. So, you know, when Michael Jordan did it.
But really and honestly, can you even really call those retirements?
Not really. You know, Michael Jordan retired. We knew when he retired the first time he would come back. He was just too young. He was too good. And we knew at some point he was going to have that itch to come back. Well, he came back.
Right.
He won 3 more championships. After he retired that last time, I mean, when he retired the second time from Chicago, we thought he was done. He became an owner of the Washington Wizards. And he started hinting at, you know, helping the young guys develop. And then all of a sudden, he was in the gym practicing with him. You knew right then, he's going to come back.
Well, speaking of Michael Jordan, I forgot how long ago this was. But it was a little while ago, but, you know, not 5-10 years ago. But one of these guys from, I'm going to guess, maybe he was a walk-on, or he was invited to try out for the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he said something to Michael, and I'll tell you this, man, look, even now, Michael still has a little bit, because he wasn't as fast or as agile as he once was, but I'll tell you what, he was taking it to old boy, I am not by any means of the word saying Michael Jordan trying to make a comeback. That man like 50 years old. He probably older than that. But I tell you what, people that stay in shape like that, they're always going to have a little bit to show. And let's face it, you've got to be in some sort of shape to play golf.
Yeah, John Daly.
Man, look.
Hey, you said you had to be in some type of shape to play golf. John Daly. Well,
Refrigerator Perry. Now what?
I'm just saying, bro. I mean, did John Daly look like he was in, like, exceptional shape?
I don't know. Did Refrigerator Perry?
Yeah, Refrigerator Perry was in good, great shape to play football.
You know what? See, this is why I can't even talk to you.
I'm just saying, man. But, you know.
Maybe John Daly's sport was a little more of
John Daly
consumption.
That's what I'm saying. John Daly smoked packs of cigarettes like he was eating the candy sticks, and he drank more alcohol than you could possibly dream of. And this dude had sponsors. He was going out there playing golf, and playing well enough to continue. I mean, he wasn't winning tournaments, but he was. Dude was like placing over competition. These dudes probably out there 10, 12 hours a day striking golf clubs. And this dude, John Daly, was probably one of those rare talents that the dude was just a natural golfer. And he could get away with that. I don't think anybody else could. Nah, he was partying like Ric Flair, baby. He was partying like Ric Flair and going out there balling on the golf course. Man, we've been talking a lot of different topics tonight. I told everybody we was going to be bouncing around. We didn't have a show Wednesday night. And to be honest with you, let's see. Jacksonville, San Francisco, y'all want to talk about that game? Nope. New England, Atlanta, nope. Indiana, Buffalo, nope. Props to Cam Newton. Cam Newton came back and assumed his position as the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers and played pretty well. Panthers, lost the game, but Cam Newton came out there. Had a good game, scored three touchdowns, threw for two, ran for one. He looked like Cam Newton. And I think Cam Newton is a little bit reinvigorated being back in Carolina, because I don't think he ever wanted to leave Carolina. So hopefully, and we talked about this last week, man, hopefully this is a long-term relationship, and after the season, you know, they can continue to keep Cam, and you can keep Sam Darnold too, because you know you need somebody to succeed Cam, so you can keep Sam Darnold as a backup quarterback. You can have you know, Cam Newton as a starter. At some point, quarterbacks like Sam Darnold become backups. You're not good enough to win, but in a limited role, you're good enough to, you know, play well in spurts. So that's what Sam Darnold is, and you know, hopefully, you know, Carolina see that and, you know, could possibly. I like to see Cam finish his career in Carolina, even though I'm a Bucs fan. I would like to see that, because,
yeah,
I think, you know, that is who he is. He's a Carolina Panther through and through. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about Chicago, Baltimore. That game was boring. Detroit, Cleveland, another boring game. Miami, New York, whatever. Philadelphia, New Orleans, I didn't see enough of that game to talk about it. So,
I saw quite a bit of it, and I'm just going to say this. Saints are missing their injured players, and they're realizing now that they may very well have a problem as far as the team goes. That the team is they're not hitting the marks, they're not hitting the notes that they should be hitting in order to stay in competition. This is going to be a long season for the Saints. I think that they could still make the playoffs, you know, as a wild card. But me being a Bucs fan, I'm more worried about Carolina than I am New Orleans or Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's terrible. Atlanta is terrible.
I mean, that's just how I am.
Yeah. So, yeah, they you know, obviously, Jameis going down was a big deal. Kamara's been out as well. And when half of your offense is sitting on the bench, actually Kamara's probably more than half the offense. So, and then
he about 75% of the offense.
And Thomas is being out. He had a setback with his.
Yeah, he don't want to play for New Orleans. That's what his setback.
Yeah, he had a setback, so he's done for the season. You know. It's one of the New Orleans. Yeah. And you're stuck with Trevor Siemian. Hey, but they beat the Bucs with him, so. Man.
Well, I mean,
this is where we've got to
establish something here really quick.
Huh?
Trevor Siemian didn't beat the Bucs.
Todd Bowles did? I mean, who beat us?
But the Bucs beat the Bucs. Over half of the Saints' offensive yards
came on penalties.
In that, exactly. Don't. No. No, sir. No, no, sir. You need to as you always say, tell it like it is. Okay. That no. Oh, and the other thing is what little offensive yards they did have. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, Simeon made some good passes. A lot of receivers caught some passes and everything like that. I'm not taking anything away from that. But without Alvin Kamara there, as somebody that we have to keep an eye on, because remember, in that game, for some reason, don't ask me why, but Alvin Kamara was open more in that game than I've ever seen him. And what little bit of offensive they actually did, most of it was from Kamara. So now that Kamara is out, now that you have what you have, and oh wow, he just intercepted that.
Yeah.
Did that really just happen?
Yeah, that just happened. That did just happen.
Oh man, I'm sorry, listeners. But
it's going to be overtime. It's going to overtime.
Oh, for sure. But no, Derek, I'm sorry. But when you say the Saints beat the Bucs, I have to disagree with you. The Bucs beat the Bucs, and the penalties show it. But that was one of the biggest things that we talked about. And everything like that was the penalties. And here's the other thing. I sure hope that Todd Bowles brings something different to the table tomorrow night.
You better do something.
Well,
Wednesday night we're gonna be sitting up here screaming on this microphone. They go out there and lose to the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Man, I still stand by this that most of this is your fault.
How's it my fault? I'm not on the coaching staff.
Yeah, and that's the reason why it's your fault.
Oh, not it.
What?
They don't want me on the coaching staff.
Why not?
I don't know. I might be too good.
What do you mean you don't know?
I might be too good.
Man, look, I can tell you this. You will come with that same vanilla man on man defense.
Yeah.
That Todd Bowles been coming with.
Yeah, I can do that.
That's not what we need you for.
I'll bring back Mike Smith defense.
Man, the first play I saw from a Mike Smith defense, I'd walk down and I'd say, you got
it. Yeah, Mike Smith.
No. Why don't you try bringing something? Oh, I don't know, like a Rob Marinelli defense or a Chris Richard defense. How about we try that?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't either.
I don't know. They got to figure it out. They got to figure it out. So let's see. What other games that I don't want to talk about? Tennessee?
I don't know.
Tennessee and Houston? That was terrible. This Sunday night game is pretty interesting.
Yep. Especially right here.
KC and Dallas, that was like watching Detroit and the Jets play.
That was like watching paint dry.
Yeah, that game was boring, dude. That game was really boring, you know.
And you know what? And I actually expected that to be one of the better games.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, Cincinnati beat Las Vegas. Listen, I know the NFL went crazy because, you know, John Gruden emails became the main focus of the Washington football team investigations. John Gruden was the head coach of that team. He was the leader of that, of that locker room. And they missed John Gruden. They have not played the same since John Gruden was fired. I know they say he stepped down, but I believe he was fired forcefully. Just based on some of the comments.
He was coerced.
Yeah.
To resign.
Yeah.
And I actually have some John Gruden news for you. And everything you get done.
I know he's going after the NFL. He's suing
us. This is coaching news and stuff like that. So go ahead and finish your segment, I will tell you.
Well, he's going after the league. So, you know, Roger Goodell made it a big issue when they kept asking him about, you know, breaking. Releasing those other 650,000 emails, and he said he didn't want to release them. Well, you guys know my opinion. You heard me the whole time saying, "Well, if there's nothing there, because I mean, Goodell was saying there was nothing there. If there's nothing there in those other 650,000 emails, just release them, like you allowed John Gruden stuff to get leaked. So, just release them." But apparently he's refusing to. So guess what? There is something there. And through this investigation or this court case, some of those stuff will be exposed. So I hope
it will be.
Roger Goodell is the you know, CYA, right? CYA. And I think that's what's going to go down here with this case. Mm-hmm. And John Gruden's whole intentions is on exposing Roger Goodell, because he felt like it was a witch hunt against him for no reason. So basically, he sabotaged his career for what? We don't know. John Gruden, he was not employed by the NFL at the time. These were personal emails that were sent to then GM of the Redskins, Bruce Allen. These had nothing to do with anything but just personal conversation. So he was not employed by the league. He wasn't getting paid by the league. He was employed by ESPN, Disney, doing Monday Night Football. And what did he do wrong? Just say Roger Goodell is a punk. And all of a sudden, his emails get leaked, and you were investigating Washington for conduct.
Well, you do realize that after all this is over, Goodell is probably not going to be the commissioner of the NFL, right?
Probably not, because it's going to come out. It is going to come out, and I hope it does. Tired of Roger Goodell, too. Tired of him. I'm tired of, what's the guy name? Matt Silver. Adam Silver. Tired of him. The only commissioner I like, Gary Bettman's, you know, they hate him in the NHL. Who's the commissioner of baseball? They hate him, too.
I don't know, but honestly, to me, and maybe I'm being a little biased, but I honestly think that the next commissioner of the NFL should be Tony Dungy.
You know what? San Diego just did something really stupid.
Yes, they did.
I mean, not San Diego, yes, my bad. LA. You.
Well, we all know who you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, you go for it on 4th-and-1 on your side of the field. Mm-hmm. In the game where the Steelers done caught momentum, they were down 2 scores, and now the game is tied. You give them the ball on the plus side of the field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is a poor coaching decision. You punt that ball off. You allow your defense mm-hmm. to make a stop. Not in field goal range. So, I mean, they moved the ball 20 more yards. I mean, that's, you know, if they get 2 more first downs, the game over. It's over.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So, and the Steelers so stupid right now, you're passing the ball. You run the ball and make them use their timeouts.
Yeah, well, but see, this is the thing that you have to remember about the Chargers head coach. He's a first-time head coach. He's young. He's going to make the mistakes. On the other side of the ball, on the other side of the field, you have Mike Tomlin, who has been there. He's done that. He had several years as a position coach, even several more years as a coordinator. Had a lot of time under some Hall of Famer head coaches to learn from, such as Tony Dungy and Bill Cowher, both of them certifiable Hall of Famers. Okay, and what you're going to see is, and that is exactly what we just saw with that play, is the youthfulness and the inexperience coming out on the Los Angeles Chargers head coach. Not saying he's a bad guy. I mean, come on. First year head coach, and he has them in contention like this. Yeah, he's doing a good job. He's going to learn and everything. I mean, if Los Angeles gets the ball back, he's going to catch a lucky break.
Yeah, he is going to catch a lucky break because, you know, you just don't make these moves in a game this tight. You just don't do it. All right, so let's see what happens here. Oh, they called him for pass interference. You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something. All right, here comes another vent. This is not a rant. This is a vent. Okay. We cannot reward quarterbacks for underthrowing the ball that bad. Thank you. I'm glad they picked it up because there was no way that receiver was going to catch the ball. So you cannot call pass interference on a ball that's underthrown 10 yards.
Now he might have had a chance for it.
What, with the arm with the arms of rubber band man, stretch man from the Incredibles?
I've seen T.O., I've seen Chad Johnson, I've seen Randy Moss catch underthrown balls like that.
Oh, but his back was turned. That's the only thing. Like, he was still running the opposite way. His back was turned. So, that's my only thing there.
Okay, I'll give you that one. There's still a lot of time left on the clock. I mean, the Chargers still have all three of their timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. I mean, this game is not done.
No, they still got enough time to come back and do something.
Well, I mean, old number 10 on Los Angeles' side of the ball, you're going to have to earn that paycheck.
Yeah. All right, so let's see where I'm at. Where we at? Where, let me